Begin here. All right, welcome everybody to Hebrew Club. Good to see everybody on this cool day, actually. And we are in Psalm 32, and we are at the last third of it. We're about ready to begin verse 7, all right? And if you will remember, the psalmist has resolved to pray, confess his sin, and he's moving now to this confident kind of language that you will see in verse 7. I think we'll be able to finish up 32 today and start 33 and get into that as well. So verse 7 begins, Ata seter li mitzar titzreini rane palet tesovaveni selah. Ata, that's the pronoun you. So you are a seter for me, a secret place for me. That word's not uncommon, you know. It's used in Psalm 27 in a couple places and refers to, you know, it could be kind of the spiritual place, but also, like in Psalm 27, it seems to refer to the tabernacle, the sanctuary where Yahweh was present, where he'd give his people protection. So you are a seter for me, mitzar, from trouble or from distress. Titzreini is, notice that that's a simple call imperfect from natzar, to watch over or guard, with the first common singular suffix. So from trouble or distress, titzreini, you guard me or protect me. Rane is, this is a very, very rare form, the noun ron. And here's the plural of it. Notice that as soon as you see that dagesh in the nun in one of these monosyllabic nouns, you know that the root behind it is a geminate root. So it's the verb ranan means to shout out loud. The more common word for a shout is rinna, a ringing cry or something like that. So here you have, I think this is a hapax. I don't think it occurs anywhere else. It's in construct, so it's a plural construct. Remember, as soon as you add a plural ending or a suffix to these monosyllabic nouns, you get that dagesh indicating that it's from a doubled root. So shouts of, now palate, notice that that is a pl infinitive, to deliver. But notice that you would say shouts of deliver. All right? Tesovaveni, Jim, you're going to love this. This is from Savav, and it is what we went over just this morning. This is a poel form, imperfect. You surround me. So it's a second masculine singular plus first common singular from Savav. All right? So you are a seter for me, a secret place for me. From distress, titzreini, you protect me. With shouts of deliverance, you surround me, selah. All right? Any questions on verse 7? Everybody see all the forms and everything? Okay, very good. All right, now notice that what's interesting about this psalm, and a lot of psalms as well, is you have a different voice coming in. You'll be able to recognize the voice right away. So the voice of the speaker goes into the background, you get a new voice. As kilaka ve'oraka bederek zu teilek. As kilaka is from sakal, means to be wise. All right, now remember when you have a stative verb in the call, it becomes active, transitive or intransitive in the hifil. So sakal means to be prudent, to be wise. Askileka means to instruct or to bring to wisdom. See, and it has the second masculine singular suffix. I will instruct you. See, ve'oraka, bederek zu teilek, and I will teach you. Notice that oraka is from first yud root yara, to teach. And it's an imperfect first common singular form. I will teach you. So I will instruct you and I will teach you. That's where we get the noun Torah from. And I will teach you, Baderek, in the way which, Telek, you should go. That's our famous word, Halak, call imperfect, second masculine singular. Looks like a first yod verb in those imperfects. Zu is rare. That here it's used as a relative. Sometimes that is used a couple of times as a demonstrative pronoun, this. All right, here it means which. And you find it a handful of times, mostly in poetry. So I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way which you should go. Iatza aleka eini. Iatza is from the root ya'atz. Everybody see that first yud root? The yud stays in this case. And this is a call form, first common singular. Notice that the kamate makes it a cohortative form. All right. It's usually translated in the same way as the other imperfect. Sometimes you have these expanded forms that don't necessarily have a volitive function. But you could translate like that, and I kind of like that, where Yahweh says, expresses his wishes here. Let me counsel, and now you have to understand you. Let me give counsel is probably how I would translate it, more intransitive. Let me give counsel. Now, aleka, on you is a me, is my eye. And notice that that's not a threat, that's good news in this case. Sometimes when Yahweh's eye is on you, it's a big problem. Here, he's happy about that. Namely, Yahweh's watching over him, protecting him. Okay? So you have a couple interesting features in that verse. Does anyone have any questions about anything? Verse 8. You guys all good? All right. So who's talking here? Notice the new voice we have. Who's the I?
So it means it became a voice, man?
Well, it could be, but I think it's more natural to take it as Yahweh. The voice of Yahweh comes here. So notice Yahweh says, I will teach and I will instruct you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you. On you is my eye. It could be, like you said, another wise person that's giving advice. But and so we have to hold our absolute certainty in kind of abeyance here. But it's something you note. We want to see if this voice continues or if there's another voice or if you can even tell. Yes?
Could that be rendered, I will guide you with my eye? Has that been done before?
Let's see here. I will counsel you. Syntactically, that's possible, you know, because in poetry, of course, there are a lot of prepositions that are left out. All right. I don't know if it's the best translation. I'd have to think about that. But... Okay. Good. Let's go to verse 9. Al tihyu kesus keperet ein havin bemetheg va'resen. Ed Yo, live long. Al tihu, do not be. That's of course from Haya, simple, just second person form. And notice with the al, it functions as a exhortation. Do not be like a sus. Oh, the first Hebrew word you ever learned, sus. Do not be like a horse. Kepered, like a donkey. Pered, ein havin. Now notice that this is kind of an interesting. Construction again. Havin is a hifil infinitive construct from being, to understand. And here it almost takes this kind of, in English you almost have to translate it fully as a noun, understanding. And so notice you have ein, which is what negates non-finite verbal clauses. So don't be as a horse, as a donkey, there is no understanding. So we would probably add something in which there is no understanding or in whom there is no understanding. But just see that that havin is actually the infinitive construct. Okay? Bemetheg, there's your metheg, Jim, with a bit. That's what it means. Varesen, and a bridle. Ed Yo, adi is the word for ornaments. And so notice it just has the third masculine singular suffix, his trappings. So with bit and bridle as his trappings. Okay, so don't be as a donkey. There's no understanding in him. With bit and bridle are his trappings. Live loam, to curb. And notice you have to understand the donkey, to curb him. And this is a call infinitive construct. Notice it's written with a mater letter once again from the root balam. So not every infinitive construct lacks the mater letter. All right, that's something in your Hebrew books that you want to. Some people learn, oh, the absolute form has the mater letter, the construct doesn't. Not always true. Live long, okay? To curb him. Now notice the end of the verse. Baal kerov eleka. Baal is a poetic synonym with lo. And you see it a number of times. I mean, it's pretty common in prophets, and I think it's pretty common in prophets and poetry. Kerov is another infinitive construct, to approach, to come near, eleka, to you. Again, notice how sparse the syntactical markers are here. It's very compressed. Not to approach you. And you have to kind of understand this, that with a bit and a bridle as his ornaments, in order to curb him so that he does not approach you. That would be kind of a smooth English translation. So again, the whole verse, do not be like a horse, like a donkey, in whom there is no understanding, with a bit and a bridle as his ornaments, to curb him so as not to come near to you. Everybody see how that verse is working? So he's telling the people. Now notice he's moved to this exhortation type of speech. And he's telling the people, don't be stubborn, basically. Don't be like the donkey. You got to have a bit and bridle on them so that they don't come near you. All right, to curb them, to always control them. Okay? Questions up through verse 9?
Well, just an interesting observation. ESV actually translates that it will not stay near you.
Really?
Where do they get that?
It's translating kerov, which means to come near and to approach, as to stay. And I don't know where they would get that. Yeah. Why they had it. It's a little different meaning, because here it means those, the donkeys, the trappings, the ornaments are to curb them so they don't come near you. Right. And that's how it seems to me, keep them away. They're thinking in terms of so it doesn't wander away. Mm-hmm. But I don't know where they get that, unless they're, I'd have to, let me check
Would it possibly come from, like, the logic of the idea that a bridle wouldn't keep you away from, get away from you, well, that's, you have to be behind it to hold the bridle?
I mean, that's not a bad way to think about it, that they're trying to figure out what the logic of the verse is. So the translation, again, you can see how it reflects an interpretive kind of perspective. Right. Oh, they're thinking of, yeah, the bit and the bridle, you actually control, make the horse do what you want, and you tie them up with those things so they don't wander away. I mean, that, you know, that's how our experience with horses goes as well. But I've also had experience with donkeys. You got to keep them away from you by tying them down, you know. Otherwise, it's not a good thing. But anyway, yeah, so they have to, in order to do that, then you have to give kerov kind of a different nuance, mm-hmm. to stay rather than to draw near approach, which is, remember, it's a pretty common word, pretty common meaning. So you can see again, I mean, that's a good question, how the translators have to make decisions. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do. Okay, everybody ready for verse 10? Any other? All right, Rabim, Makovim la Rasha, Vehaboteach, Jim, there was another one. I told you they were common. We did this all morning with the Savavs.
So this is a review of class.
This is, yeah. So now he's getting it good and hammered in. Many are the makovim, pains. So rabim makovim. Many are the pains, la rasha, for the wicked one, as a class of people. Now you hear the ve is contrast. Veha boteach, but the one who trusts in Yahweh, chesed, yesovevenu, will surround him. Again, this is a po'el, imperfect, from savav. And what else do you see in there? With the dagesh preceded by the short vowel segol. This, what's also here? The energic nun. The energic nun precedes the pronominal suffix. So that energic nun has actually assimilated to the nun of the suffix. And it indicates that it is an imperfect form. All right, those occur on imperfects. V'habotech, and the one who trusts in Yahweh, chesed yesovenu, will surround him. Okay. Questions on 10? All right, verse 11. Simchu baronai v'gilu tzadikim, v'har ninu kol yishre lev. Simchu, simple call, imperative from Samach, rejoice in Yahweh. Vegilu, another imperative from Gil. And exult, O tzadikim, righteous ones. Again, as so often happens in the Psalms, the wicked is contrasted to the tzadikim. Okay? Vehar ninu. Here's that root. Remember we had Ron or Rane shouts. Here's Ranan. The root is Ranan. And notice then that it is a hifil imperative. Notice the hay with the patach under it. Tells you that that is a hifil imperative. Harninu, masculine plural. And shout out loud, all yishrei lev, all you upright in heart. This yishrei is from yashar, plural construct. Yasharim, yishrei, that's how it's pointed when it goes into the construct. All upright in heart. So rejoice in the Lord and exult, O righteous ones. And shout out loud, all upright in heart. Okay, that ends the song. Very good. Questions through verse 11? All right, way to go. Let's go to Psalm 33 then. Another. Yeah, there we go. And so we move to another one that's usually classified as a hymn. 32 is kind of a thanksgiving. That's the traditional classification. The next one, this one, is a hymn. And again, you see the word, Rananu, Zadikim Barunai. La Yesharim, there it is. Na'ava Tehillah. As you see in so many Psalms, they seem to be connected by, a lot of them are connected by words, similar word links. You certainly see it here with the Rananu. All right? Notice the form of this one, though, is what? If the other one was the Hifil, Har Ninu, what's this one? Rananu. Look, everybody see it? It's a PL form. Yeah, it's a PL imperative.
We got a suffix.
And, notice that it is simply the masculine plural of Rananu. So you have Ranan, and then you just added the suffix to it. The dagesh preceded by that patach helps you with the PL-ness of this. So, Rananu. Shout, O tzadikim, O righteous. About Yahweh. Notice that Ranan, I kind of looked this up, occurs a handful of times, and the bait is the thing you're shouting about. Okay? Sometimes it translates, shout, I don't know, what are some of the other translations?
ESV says, shout for joy in the Lord.
In the Lord. See, I don't know if that's as clear, because the bait in other cases seem to indicate the thing that you're rejoicing over. Shout about Yahweh. Shout over Yahweh. Raise a shout. Something like that. Whereas shout in the Lord is more like in connection with.
Or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little different nuance there. Okay. Now, La Yesharim. Again, notice the word connection between, in verse 11, you had the Yishrei Lev, the plural construct, upright apart. Here you have the absolute form, La Yesharim. To the upright, Na'ava Tehila. Lovely or pleasant, na'ava is tehillah. Praise is na'ava, pleasing for the upright. Okay, questions through one? All right, here we go, Jim. Hodu la'adonai b'kinor, b'nevel asor tzamru lo. Hodu, what's the root?
Yada.
Yada, very good. Conjugation? The ho tells you, not hafal, but hifil, the hifil form. Those first yuds have that ho, do, and then again, the vocalic suffix is added with, and that third root letter, the hey, just disappears. That's what makes those so compact and sometimes hard to recognize. So give thanks. Yeah, so you have, everything's changed except the dalet. That's your only little stability. You're on a precipice here. Luckily, hodu occurs a lot, so you get familiar with the word. So give thanks to the Lord with a kinor, with a lyre. Is that how you pronounce that? L-Y-R-E? With a lyre. Yeah, with a lyre. With a navel, with a harp. Now notice the form here, asur, is 10 string. With a harp of asur, 10 strings. Zamru lo. What's the conjugation of zamru? It's from Zamar.
Yeah.
And it's a PL, imperative, masculine, plural. So with the harp of 10 strings, play music for him or to him.
Or make sounds.
Yeah. Zamar. Yes, very good. Ms. Moore is the noun that comes. So sometimes it translates sing, sometimes it's translated make music.
The root is Ms. Moore, yeah?
Yeah, Zamar, to, right. And usually is to play a musical instrument. Here it's that, but again, the whole thing, like you said, is talking about singing, playing, praising. Okay? And notice the synonym with Hodu, and when we get to verse 3, Shiru. That's an imperative from the root Shir, to sing. Sing to him a Shir Chadash. It's a great verse. Sing to him a song, a new one. Hey Tivu. Oh, here's a good idiom again, Jim. Hey Tivu, Nagain. Good thing you're in class today. Bitrua, yeah, you know, for a change. No, I'm just kidding. Jim is always front row every second of the day. All right, so now look at this Hey Tivu, and I want you to see the idiom. First of all, the Nagain is a PL infinitive. All right, PL infinitive. Hey Tivu is from the root Yatav. It's a stative verb to be good in the call. Now, when it becomes hifil, doesn't become causative, it becomes active. So this is a hifil imperative, and it means do well, all right? Nagain means to play, like an instrument, to play a stringed instrument, nagain. So it's very woodenly, do well to play with a teruah, with a shout of joy, teruah. But see, the idiom... again, we learned this today with the words Ravajim and Yasaf and Shuv, the Hendiades idea, that when you see us, you very frequently see a word like this followed by the infinitive, and in English you have to make the infinitive the main verb. And then the Hetivu you would translate adverbially. So it would be play music skillfully or play music well with a teruah or excellently with a shout. See, and that becomes that beautiful verse. But I just want you to see the idiom. That occurs buku times with Yasaf, all right, frequently with Rava, and with Shu. All right? There's a dearth of adverbs in Hebrew, and so Hebrew has different strategies for making adverbs. All right, does anyone have any questions about that or anything else in verse 3? It's good? All right, verse 4. Ki yashar devar Adonai vekol ma'aseh be'emunah. For yashar, upright or straight, is the devar Yahweh, is the word of the Lord. And all ma'asehu, all his work. Notice that this is from the noun ma'aseh, and you simply add the third masculine singular suffix. And all his work is be'emunah, with emunah, faithfulness. Notice again here you have this adverbial be'emunah, so the bait added to the noun faithfulness. All his work, we'd try probably say something like, is done with faithfulness or faithfully. Okay. Verse 5. Ohev tzedekah mishpat chesed Adonai mal'a ha'aretz. Ohev is a simple call parcel. He's one who loves tzedekah, righteousness, and mishpat, justice. The chesed of the Lord, the loyalty, or the, you know, again, that's a loaded word, hard to translate with one English gloss. So the chesed of the Lord, notice mal'a is a call, feminine, and ha'aretz seems to be the subject. So we would translate, the earth is filled, and then the chesed Yahweh is what it's filled with. You very frequently have this with mal'a. So the earth is filled with the chesed Yahweh, with the grace of Yahweh, with the mercy of Yahweh. Okay? Questions through 5?
You translated malah passively, like is
yeah, to be full, right, to be full. State of Yahweh.
But you said it's call, right?
Right.
So would that just be, we make sense of it as we translate it in passages because that's the way...
Well, Malay is one of those quasi-statives. Sometimes I think the call can be used more in a more active sense, but usually it's just a stative to be full. Mm-hmm. And so this is I'm seeing it as a simple call, perfect feminine singular. Now, when you have statives, and it's the convention of Hebrew to use the perfect tense for, and we would have to translate with present, you know, to be filled with something, when something is full, when someone is old, he's zaken, and so on. All right, so that's why I translated the earth is filled, or you could translate the earth is full of the grace of Yahweh. I don't know if that even touches what your question was.
Well, so it wouldn't be rendered the grace of Yahweh fills the land.
Oh, yeah, right. I think, you know, again, in Hebrew it's a little dicey, but if you wanted to do that, you'd probably have the definite article if you wanted to make it, or the direct object marker, you know, for that. But, yeah, generally I would tend to translate that in the more stative sense. Okay, it's a good question, though. Verse 6. We'll do this one more verse, then we can stop. Bidvar Adonai Shamayim Na'asu Uveruach Piv Kol Zefa'am. All right. By the word of the Lord, this is a really interesting part of the psalm. We'll get to more of it next time. By the word of the Lord, the heavens, na'asu. Everybody see that? What's the root, na'asu? Na'asa, or asa. And notice then you have the vocalic suffix, the third root letter has disappeared. The conjugation is nifal. Why are there two pataks under there? Because the first letter is a guttural. That's why it's, remember, nik, telu, so... But since it's third hey and first guttural, na'asu. So by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And by the ruach piv, by the breath of his mouth. Notice that peh is one of those three words that has that archaic yud when you add the suffix. Av is one, ach is one, so you have avi, you know, and then ach and pi, peh. And by the breath of his mouth, all zeva'am, all their host. So again, he's moving now to praising God. Now he's praising God for his omnipotence in creation. It's beautiful. Okay, any questions? We'll stop there for today. And have a great weekend and blessings. Thanks very much for coming.